Blog Talk Radio.
It is Sunday, May 22nd, 2016, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in America. My name is Granton Taylor Hughes. For my show, The Granton Taylor Hughes Show, with my guest host each week, Gabriella Foster. Hi, Gabriella. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. Thanks very much. How about yourself, Grant?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Well, I'm happy to hear that.
So nothing funny so far, right? What's that?
No, nothing funny so far, but we'll think of something.
But you were laughing because I was being really straight-laced, though, right?
Yes. Yes.
I see. Because you were wondering when the joke was going to appear, and I was doing everything completely correct.
That's true. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, but she laughed when I was playing it correctly, right? Playing it straight, and you laughed anyway.
Well, I've known you for quite some time.
Oh, you have. I see.
I know there will be some laughter coming shortly, so I was just prepared for it.
You were prepared for the nonsense, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And what's really interesting, when people read the show description, I'm sure they're getting ready for some real serious stuff, right? I should have added it. I wonder if there's anything in there about, I think there's some glib commentary or something, I suppose. But anyway, having said all that, so each week we try to go into some material regarding the present state of international affairs regarding law and politics and all that business that usually bores people. But to me it's rather interesting from the standpoint that we have in the courtroom a different kind of law than what you would think. I ask people that question often, what law do they have in the courtroom? Sometimes people will try to mention the Constitution, but that's a real joke because that's been suspended since 1930, pretty much unbeknownst to the public. And I have a United Kingdom group that I work with in the mornings, on Sunday mornings, and we were talking about the irony that the Lawyers Guild of London actually writes the Uniform Commercial Code, and then their courtrooms completely deny its existence. Which it would be, what you call it, ironic, correct, Gabrielle?
Yes, that is bizarre. But then why don't they want anyone to know about the Uniform Commercial Code?
Well, because then in the reference books in England, they call the reference books, the legal reference books, they call them the white books. In America, they call them the tan books, or I call them the yellow books, but they're tan. And those are court cases, precedent law, it's called, where they write down the court cases. So if you had a court case that was ruled under the UCC, which would be dismissed, then that would be put into the reference books. And then upon using reference or looking up in reference books, you could allude to the bankruptcy regarding UCC Section 1 and the bankruptcy codes. And therefore, they don't want people to find out about the international bankruptcy because it's been an embarrassment since 1930. So you have to think in terms of how long has that been? It's been 85 years, right? 86 years?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's become a real embarrassment because the bankruptcy has been in effect for so long. The question would be, why haven't they sorted it out? And it's a very complex situation regarding the bankruptcy. As you know, and what we've discussed on the show, that it's a great idea that we did find a fix in 2004, but what the problem is, we can't implement it. And you understand why we can't implement it, even though it's a complex answer. Do you remember why?
Why you can't implement it?
Yeah, why we can't implement the fix for the the international bankruptcy. Did you remember why? I don't mean to put you on the spot. I mean, it's rather complex from the standpoint. Yeah, if you want to attempt it, go ahead, if you remember.
Well, I think it would be difficult to implement because there's an awful lot of banks involved, and maybe, I mean, you mean it would be, you couldn't implement it even if people were in agreement to implement it, or it would be difficult to implement it because not everybody would be in agreement to implement it. That's my question.
That's an interesting answer from the standpoint that it could be agreeable if there was a method to do it, but the methodology problem is that mathematics is not an approximate science, and it could be because you can use fractions. But the banking community won't allow for the inaccuracy, or I would say an approximate mathematics, or not even, it wouldn't be fractional because it would have to be accounting in the black, in the red, okay? Meaning that they couldn't get everything, it had to be approximating it because, as I've said before, it's a complex answer because anything is relative. It would be a relative measurement. And if you try to measure things collectively, remember that analogy I use all the time about if you try to measure things as a group, it never is accurate. In terms of, in my first physics class, I tried to measure the top of the page with 50 students, and they got 50 different answers. So it's proving that mathematics is really not a collective science, it's individual. You get individual answers, but as soon as you try to measure as a group, then it's complete failure. And because of that, that would mean that to do accounting, you'd have to approximate the answer, and you'd have to admit that it isn't accurate from that standpoint. Because if that's why they use the General Accepted Accounting Practices stamp. It's called the GAAP stamp in accounting, G-A-A-P. And they stamp the accounting or the back of the pro formas of businesses with this GAAP stamp, and it declares that the numbers are considered accurate, and that if anybody else comes in and measures the numbers and gets a different answer, then it's not accepted because it already has a GAAP stamp on it. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So it can be somewhat complex, right, in terms of what I'm talking about. Do you agree with that? It can be complex?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that means that the reason why we can't get solvency in the most accurate sense is because we don't have an approximate mathematics. It's not accepted unless you're doing it in what's considered accuracy, but that, again, is not possible in terms of its proof. See, so there are very few people that really understand what I'm talking about, and therefore, when we're dealing with the measurement of money, we're never going to get banking equilibrium because it'll never be, the accounts can never be balanced perfectly. See, so there's a bit of an insanity there, you see, in terms of, we're measuring money dollar for dollar and all that business, but are we really when we go to the, just like bank accounts, it's hard to balance your account after a while because it gets to be complex, right?
Yeah.
I see.
Well, I mean,
it might distract you.
I mean, most people don't balance their accounts anymore. Some people still do. Most people, because of the availability of looking at your accounts online daily, you can just look there and check on things. And that's probably what most people are doing. I don't know if there's that many people that actually, I've been told by people that they still actually balance their checkbook once a month.
All right, but you see, ultimately you can do that individually, but if 10 people tried to do the same measurement on your own, even your individual account, they would come up with different answers. So therefore, theoretically, it's just not possible. It's a gigantic failure. That's why when I talk about indirect trade, where there'd be no medium of exchange, then you could have true solvency because there wouldn't be an issue about profit or balancing of accounts. So it can be very complex, and it sounds like super theory or woo-woo new age stuff, if you will. But in reality, it's just the factor of relativity. See, that's the whole problem. I mean, I didn't create the issue, but in terms of measuring things as a whole, it's virtually impossible. And it's been proven many times over, but people don't really want to get involved with that because that's under the Heisenberg uncertainty principles and Bayesian theories and uncertainty. So when you get into uncertainty principles in physics, nobody wants to hear about that, you see. But we've been in a bankruptcy since 1930, and there's really nothing that can be done about it regarding that. You see what I mean? So in other words, how can you get solvency when it's not possible to measure it properly? See? So that means it's going to be always a breakdown in the measuring structure. So therefore, we're stuck in a bankruptcy, and we're stuck with uniform commercial code because nobody can sort out how to get it in banking equilibrium without accepting the fact it'd have to be approximation. And see, they're not ready to do that. See, because they don't understand what I'm talking about. Very few people do. But I didn't create that. It's not my problem. I just explain it, right? I didn't create the cosmos, but I explain it.
Right. Yeah.
Isn't that Jose Ferrer said that in the Midsummer Night's Sex comedy by Woody Allen, a movie years ago? He said,
yeah.
I didn't create the cosmos. I just explain it.
Yes, and really explain it. Yeah.
It's the same thing with me. I didn't create the concept or the issues, but I'm explaining why they periodically, even they have a cycle of like 70 years and you have a bankruptcy, but we're still affected by the Geneva Convention of 1930. We're still affected by it because our money reflects it in terms of the Federal Reserve note, which is a debt instrument. So using that debt instrument, then we're in a bankruptcy. And that's pretty much it. However, the answer, like I said to you before, that now since we have really a thesis, we have a way to fix it, but we can't implement it because we've got a theoretical problem with the mathematics. But if we didn't have a theoretical problem, we do have a fix regarding the backing of the note with a certificate. So that's really the answer. But that's ironic, too, from the standpoint that I'm always talking about independent instruments not backed by other paper, but I didn't put the note in the marketplace either. And so the note is defined by banking as an IOU, a promise to pay. And there's another issue. If banking would just declare the fact that a note could be a certified paper, then that would be a way out of it, too, but they're not willing to capitulate on that. So they're not willing to do approximate mathematics, nor are they allowing a note to be considered credit. You see, so therefore the Federal Reserve note, excuse me, is a debt instrument, and it will always be that way unless you would redefine what the note meant. Like what is the prime answer definition of the word note? If you go to the dictionary, you're going to see a note would be something that you're referring to jog your memory or something in reference to that. If I looked up the definition, the first definition would be some order of that, some order of just jotting something down on a piece of paper, a note. But then you get farther into definitions because people have to appreciate the fact that if you're not a lexicographer, an aficionado in dictionaries, that there's more than one definition to words, which is really amazing when you think about it. So around the fourth or fifth definition, a note could be considered a debt instrument and not considered a certificate or certified money. So therefore, we're stuck with Federal Reserve note, which is a debt instrument. Therefore, if it's a debt instrument, we're dealing with paper that's in a bankruptcy, compelled benefit that's. So the best evidence is in people's pockets. I didn't make it up. The evidence is in one's pocket when they read the banner that says Federal Reserve note. See, isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but people don't really, you know, it's good that you're bringing this out. most to the attention of people, because most people don't even think about it. They have no idea that we're in a state of debt, and that it's just, you know, I mean, people that are older have to remember that there used to be silver certificates. You know, that
used to
say silver certificate on the dollar bill. But
correct, that's right.
And
before 1930, it said silver certificate.
And now there was none of those in circulation anyplace.
No, they're numismatics, and they're used as a commodity for trading. They'll use it in trade. But it can't be considered a medium of exchange. They don't use it as money, right? And a commodity would be you can sell a bundle of them for a certain amount of money, okay? If you went to a numismatic fair, is when they sell old currencies and what have you that are like philatelics and stamp collecting. Numismatics is money collectors. In terms of it not being, it's not a medium of exchange. Just buy and sell it as a trade, a market trade. So that's what it's known as a commodity. It's commodity trading. But it isn't used as a medium of exchange anymore. You can't take a silver certificate and buy bread with it. I mean, you could, because they're not going to look at it. But you see, but it's much more valuable than a dollar bill. I don't know what it goes for in the exchange rate on a silver certificate. I have no idea. I'm not into numismatics as a trader. But you still have to be involved with it if you want to use silver certificates. I don't know how much of that is floating around. I don't really care about that. But I can't answer you in regards to its position as a contract. Or, as I said before, it's a commodity and not a medium of exchange. So we don't have certified money as medium of exchange. There are no certificates. There are Federal Reserve notes as the international peg. And that means they use the United States dollar as the peg instrument for bank trading. They trade instruments, and it has to be in USD in terms of the dollar sign, which used to be US, but then the left-hand side of the U was misplaced at one time in a typo. So that's why you have the dollar bill sign. Did you remember that? I had told you that before, I think.
That it used to be U.S. instead of just
U.S.? Yeah, it used to be U.S. And somewhere along the line, you know, sometimes they make these errors, typos and things, and then they leave the symbol a certain way. So the left-hand side of the U was dropped off at some point in a typo. So they started using a dollar sign with just the right-hand side of the U, okay? It used to be U.S., At some point, the bottom of the rocker of the U had fallen off, and then they used to have two lines to the S, but recently it's just the symbol is like one line to the S, right? But at one time back in the 30s, they used to have two lines, because that's where the rocker had dropped off of the U. Somewhere along the line, it dropped off the rocker of the U, and it became two lines through an S was a symbol, okay,
of
the dollar bill.
I grew up putting
two
lines through it. So
right, I understand.
So people don't put two lines through the S anymore? They just use one?
Not really. You see, mostly, I don't know what the symbol, let me see the symbol on the keyboard, if I remember right. It just shows, I guess it does show two lines through it. Right, there are. I think there's two lines through it. I'm not sure. I can't see it. It's too small. That means that, right. I think there's only one line through it. Whatever the case may be, if it's one or two lines, the two lines used to have a rocker at the bottom with the U, and it used to be U.S., okay? And not just, that's what the symbol was, its derivation, its origin was the U.S., because people say, well, where does that dollar sign come from? Well, it comes from the U.S. Anyway, so having said all that, the point to that is that, albeit they still use that symbol on a dollar bill, what it says on the banner is it's a note. The dollar represents a note on contract and not a certificate of contract. which means that the certificate is credit and the note is debt, which is a distinct difference, obviously. Correct, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and that becomes the problem. The problem is that we're wielding and compelled benefit debt, not certificates, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So what that means is we're wielding debt, which is intended to by the Uniform Commercial Code, that we're using a debt instrument. We're not liable for limited liability of a compelled benefit, which is old UCC 1-204, and now it's 1-308, which really dropped off that remark about we're not liable for the compelled benefit of debt, really. But we use it, we allow for it as, because we need to use it, but we're not really liable for it if we're challenged by the money that we use, the medium of exchange we use. We're not necessarily, we could actually challenge it. So we could challenge the usage of that money, but we don't, because we need to use it as compelled benefit. In other words, we need to use it so we don't challenge its usage. You follow me?
Yeah.
Is it too complex? Probably.
No, I understand. So you're saying, and why wouldn't you not use it? So.
Well, because it's debt, ultimately, but it has purchasing power. You know, people are always talking about purchasing power, okay, because you can buy things with it, and so that should be adequate in terms of its usage. We can use it, and therefore that should be adequate for people's practice, okay? And then the other issues about it's not redeemable in gold and silver is not really an issue, because you don't really need to have it redeemable, but you need to buy a loaf of bread, right?
Yeah.
When people, whoever eats bread, I don't eat bread, so. But for those people that, most people buy bread, and they buy it with the paper money they use called a dollar bill. Beyond that, they're not really interested in what that contract says on it. Very few people can drive a car, much less know what's on a dollar bill. See, so. Yeah, don't get me started on big city drivers.
I know that. I know you're
oh, boy.
You're
unbelievable.
Well,
it's a lot worse than when I was a kid. It's a lot worse. It's just totally ridiculous in terms of, there's no such thing as a fast lane in Philadelphia. Just forget it. I would call it the pharmaceutical lane and not the fast lane. Anyway, that was supposed to have been funny. I thought you'd laugh at that.
I'm sorry. Is that better?
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
I have to prompt laughter. You know you're in trouble. Right, so that's what I mean. It's a matter of, in practice, nobody cares. As long as you can buy your food, shelter, and clothing with it, they don't care about the other ramifications of whether it's debt or credit, or if you can redeem it in gold and silver. They don't go beyond that, because what's the point of that anyway? What's the point of it being redeemable, or that it's whether it's debt or credit, as long as you could use it? See, as you had said that in the past, people don't care, right?
Well, yeah, that's it, because they don't care. They can buy what they want. It's you're able to use it whenever you want to purchase something, to sell things or whatever. It's accepted, and so people don't really care about the fact that we're in debt, because it doesn't make any difference to them. They're going to buy and sell things no matter what. So,
right, and that's the issue, and I understand that issue completely, but it really still doesn't help the fact that in reality, we're just mounting up a huge debt, and the question would be, is that going to come due at some point? You know, is the debt going to come due? Is somebody going to bring a challenge there in terms of a debt? You know, if we're deeply in debt, or is in terms of Keynesian concepts, which is marginal efficiency of capital, or deficit spending is what it could be called. If the governments can go in deficit and nobody's going to challenge the government, who's going to challenge the government because they're in deficit or they're in debt? Who's going to do that? The people? I mean, I could, but what does that mean? Well, probably 10 years of a lawsuit. You're spending 10 years of my life pretty much wasting my time because it won't necessarily pay off. Or there was a good movie years ago with Paul Newman in it called The Verdict. And in there, they win this big lawsuit against a huge hospital. And then everybody's very happy at the end of the movie because they win the case, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then in the sequel, after the next movie that they made afterwards, a few years later, you find out that the hospital filed bankruptcy and that the client, the plaintiff, didn't get any money. So you see, it's the same issue. How are you, if you win a case against the government, how are you going to enforce them to pay you? You're going to create another NATO or something like that to force them to pay you?
Yeah,
see, you can win
point.
A case. What's that?
I said that's a good point. You can't really enforce it.
Right, that's what I mean. Like, you can win a case all day long. You can be right all day long. But in terms of getting compensation, how are you going to get that? See, how are you going to make the government pay you? And then the suit really is, that really isn't the issue. The issue is they should be using credit instead of debt. But how do you go about that if they don't even know how to do that? If all they have are Federal Reserve notes, how do they reinstitute a certificate into the marketplace? That would be horrendously expensive in itself to reintroduce a certificate that doesn't exist. See, it doesn't exist. Like if you had I call it a world certificate or a Federal Reserve certificate instead of a Federal Reserve note. That means you got to create new plates and everything else. That in itself would be a horrendous expense nowadays that no one would be willing to undertake because, personally, they don't understand it. I'd have to convince some people to comprehend what I'm talking about. It can be true all day long, but in terms of its implementation, that's what I'm always saying, that we have theory, law, and practice. And you can see how practice is distinctly different than law and distinctly different than theory. See, so what we practice is far be it from the truthful theory most of the time. See, I mean, just like we know that we're using money, but it's a dead instrument and nobody cares about it. See? And people are driving around in cars that put pollution in the air and they don't use their turn signals and don't care about it. See what I mean? Or they speed, you know, I do 65 and 55, and everybody's driving 80 past me. Or I'm going slow in the slow lane, and everybody's zooming past me at 100 miles an hour, and you're wondering, you scratch your head, going, well, if I'm speeding, if I'm doing 10 miles over the speed limit, how fast are they going? You see? Anyway, time flies when you're having fun, right?
I guess so.
Anyway. All right, so thank you for being on the show this week. I really appreciate it. It's always a pleasure to have you, and I think that our audience appreciates us, too, in our idle banter and our snappy repartee, right?
All right. Thank you, Grantham, for the opportunity, because it is always interesting.
Well, thank you very much. I hope it wasn't too complex, but I'm trying to get out this information regarding the specificity of what's going on out there, because people are entitled to the knowledge. It's just that it's not often clear, and I hope that we bring clarity to it. If it sounds too complex, the nice thing is we have an archive. You can review this tape and play it back a few times if you're not getting exactly what I'm talking about. So again, I really appreciate the audience, the journeymen that come in each week, and the new people that arrive. I appreciate their presence as well. So this is Grantham Taylor Hughes for my show each week. I'll see you next week, next Sunday. Have a great week, and goodbye for now. Okay. I don't want to make it then. All right. Oh, you do? That's nice. That's very nice. I'm very excited. I'm so excited. I know. Are these your glasses up here on the book?
Yes,
here?
It is.
So these are mine. Did you feed the cat?
No, I did not.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going. You want some food? Come on. 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 There's food in here for this morning. Turn on that. So you're in the
Thank you.